Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. We are back to discuss the huge away win, road win against the Chicago Fire. 3-1, Orlando City is back and back to winning ways. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's go, Cleon. What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Body feeling good. I'm feeling good. Got the number one pick. We'll talk about that a little later on. But yeah, I'm doing good, man. Everything's looking up and up for me.
If you missed a shout out from a previous podcast, Cleon is Wolverine and self heals. It just takes a while. So I guess you're fully back then, Weapon X.
But you know what's crazy though? After I decided to take back the doctor's credit, right? Bro, I think I posted to one of y'all or two of y'all. Bro, I ended up getting COVID like 2 days later.
That's right.
And yeah. I only had it for like 5 days, but
still, man. Yikes. That COVID, yeah, don't call it a comeback. COVID. All right. And Mike is moving. Settling down in the new digs. How are you doing today, buddy?
Tired, man. Moving in 103 degree heat index is not desirable. I don't wish that anyone would have to do that, but we're good. We're here. We made it. So feeling all right. Still in the greater Orlando area. Literally, I moved across the street. But yeah, getting nice and settled. Got a little Orlando City decor on the walls. Nice. All decked out. You're not going to see the video of this, but it's all nice, you know.
Soon. Hopefully soon. We'll get the proper video going. Mike, dirty jobs. Mike Rose Spillane over here. And Alex, how you doing down there with your musket and all your memorabilia behind you?
Musket, sword.
They got a musket.
Laptops. You know, it's not even a real musket, but I actually made that. I'm good. Lovely to come off of a win. I did not move because moving just out of this room alone would take much too long. But I'm good. And I thought we were going to come out and look rusty, both on the podcast and in the game. But we're not rusty on the podcast and just needed a second half speech. So enough of my jabbering. Let's get into it.
Right. You know, one time, Mike, I didn't move from an apartment I really couldn't afford just to not move. But then they raised the rent again. I was like, I got to move. So I did. Hey,
The way that they're doing things in Florida now, they tried to raise my rent $500 a month almost.
That's ridiculous.
I had to do some things to make it work, and we did it, and I complained. And now we have a nice new apartment, and am I right? Not going.
And you already got it decorated, and that's what matters.
That's the lesson, guys.
I have that wall decorated. The rest of it's not.
Yeah. Hey, priorities. You got the Orlando City stuff up first. After he Karened a little bit at the leasing office and worked out. Good job, Mike. Way to go. What's the mill, Steve? I don't know. I don't know what the mill Karen is. Nonetheless, Orlando City went to Chicago, the land of the Ryder family over there, right?
It's always so weird. This is my annual thing where it's like I'm rooting for the away team in Soldier Field. It's so weird.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't the Packers, right?
Hey,
that would have been too much.
Hey, Jordan Love, we're gonna make Jordan Love.
Yeah.
To be fair, for the past 7 years in like December, as Bears fans, you were also rooting for the away team in Soldier Field because you guys wanted a high draft pick.
Wow, there it is.
I mean, he's not wrong. I was doing that this year, and we utilized it to our advantage. And DJ Moore is gonna be our guy. So.
Well, there you go, Orlando City 3-1 victory over the Chicago Fire. That's a clean sweep against the Fire. 6 points out of six against the Shaqiri-led Fire. We didn't get a score down by Kai Kamara either time, which might be our longest stretch of not getting scored on by Kai Kamara. And he needed one more goal to tie Landon Donovan. I just thought it was going to happen, and I'm so glad it didn't. The Orlando City, they went down a goal, 1-0. Chicago Fire was knocking at the door quite a bit. That goal was coming, in my opinion. Orlando, it looked a little rusty. I don't know if there was some lineup changes. Kyle Smith was replaced by Dagger Dan at right back, Mikey Holiday's back, but not the not in the 11. Then Antonio Carlos had a knock this week, and Urchin Cara was, I guess, sick is what ended up being the ailment. So we saw the starting 11, Kyle Smith, Antonio Carlos have been the key, have been key starters recently. That changed. I don't know if they, if Carlos got hurt late and then Schlegel coming in made him. I don't know. It just, we just looked rusty. I mean, we had a long break after the Leagues Cup exit against Inter Messi. We had a good time to kind of get flowing. I thought we'd come out kind of gunning and running, and bro, we came out sloppy and chunky, and it wasn't Soldier Field looking chunky this time like we've seen in the past. We just looked a little clunky, a little sluggish, a little sloppy, especially when we got to the final third. A lot of possession with no bite to it, and Chicago was getting us on the counter. Chicago had a easy goal. This is one of the worst groups I've ever seen. This is like one of those that's going to be mean forever, where Chicago Fire, they make a good move, Schlegel gets pulled out of position, and you know, the river opens here, like the, you know, like the sea in Moses, and but the man just runs right down. He's just in on goal. He passes it over to his buddy for the tap in, and he's offside. So thank God for VAR. That was the, you know, and it was the right call, but man, that sucks for the Fire. That should have been an easy goal. After that, they did end up getting a goal, and then Orlando City does what Orlando City has been doing lately, guys, is that when we get down a goal, we score a goal. We score right away. So Orlando City, boom, corner kick. Faku puts it right in the, in a, you know, right in the mixer. And Wilder Cartagena, my you know, just guy, I love this guy. Wilder puts his head on it. Boom, goal 1-1. And then the next goal was, I don't even remember, not that much later, right, Mike? How much later was the Angulo goal? Angulo scores, puts us up 2-1, right?
Less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes, I think, right?
Yep. It was Cartagena in the 50th, Angulo in the 54th.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing, too, I felt like in the past we used to come out of the half slow. But we've been coming out of the halves pretty hot. And then there's some kind of like, a ball comes into Araujo who doesn't really get it. And boom, I don't know, where Angulo just smacks it in with his head. 2-1, and then Dagger Dan misses an easy pass on Faku, in my opinion, runs into traffic. He's bracketed, and one guy thought, hey, why don't I Cobra Kai him? Sweeps a leg right on top of the box, and Faku absolute bins the most perfect penalty I've ever seen in purple. I mean, absolute banger of a penalty. And 3-1, Orlando City hangs on at the end. We got to see Urso back in the lineup, back playing, and came in for Mauricio and contributed well. And then we got to see Mikey Holiday come back as well. So, Cleon, we'll start with you. How are you feeling about this, about this return match and how it went overall? I mean, happy about road wins are always good, but what do you think about the performance?
I was definitely a little lazy, I want to say, or uninterested. In the first half for sure. I was actually got a little nervous because it almost looked like, you remember last year after we won the Open Cup, and the guys were like, when the game started back after the little break, and when the game started back, dudes were looking like, wait, the season's not over.
Yeah, we got wrecked in the first game after the Open Cup. Remember?
Yeah,
and
it continued the whole way through the rest of the season. So when I saw them come out like that, and I was like, oh Lord, we're not doing this again, are we? Because, you know, we were just in the tournament, got knocked out. Then, you know, everybody's watching Messi lift another trophy. Da, 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 da. So I was like, you know, I was a little afraid, thinking guys were thinking the season was over again with these mid-season tournaments and trophy raising. You know what I mean? But, you know, seemed like that goal woke them up. You know what I mean? Made them remember who they are. Be like, you know what? This is Chicago we're playing. You know, they got no business being here. And they turned it up. So I would say, as disappointing as the first half was, the second half was the opposite direction. Just, you know, it was what you want to see. That's what you'll want from this from the get-go. But, you know, win's a win. And I'm going to take that. 3-1 on the road. That's all you can ask for at the end of the day.
Yeah, the three goals and a half. And, you know, once we kind of kept possession, kept control. Chicago wasn't really that big of a threat to us. You know, I thought they handled Shakiri pretty well. It's just when we got sloppy, let the ball go, and they countered us when they were a problem. Once we got – so I thought the second half, we 3 goals in the second half is great, and I thought we controlled it in the second half. Alex, you agree with that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think that honestly, it looked like in the first couple of minutes we were putting a lot of press on them early on, and we just weren't capitalizing on some of those balls that we were. I mean, there was one or two where it looked like we were going to get it in, and Mauricio made the wrong pass, or I'm just calling him out because I remember one in particular early on. But there were a couple of different ones where. I think N'Golo also kind of had a couple of bad ones where we just didn't have that final touch that gave us what we needed. And then we kind of let it get away from us. And there was a lot. We also have to remember that there was a big component of the referees were involved. There were, what, 3 VAR decisions in this match that saved us at least twice. And that helped, but we still looked rusty. We came out quick, didn't capitalize, and kind of looked lackluster until we got woken up by a early second half mistake goal. And it makes me wonder, why is it that we always go down first and then immediately equalize? Like, I'm not complaining, but it seems to be happening a lot this year. And I'm wondering if that's a good thing, or if that's something that is symptomatic of a bigger problem.
Yeah, well, I will say this, that in the past, I felt like when we were down a goal, I didn't feel like there were goals to get us caught back up. You know, I always felt a little bit worried about that.
Like it was over.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel that now. I do think I'd rather see, you know, a 2-0 control the whole match. Right. But there is something said, especially when the playoffs come, to having a mental toughness. To come back quickly and score and focus and all that. They don't hang their heads and all that. But I did feel like we're down a goal. You know, it's a lot. Going down two, probably too much for the way we play, but going down a goal is you know. Right now, I just feel like, bro, we're gonna score quickly. So
we scored all 3 in 19 minutes. Like, yeah, scoring quickly, we go from getting scored on to being up 3-1 in like a 25-minute period, and then we just hang on to the game the rest of the match. Now, don't get me wrong, a couple of heads became less than cool towards the end, but that was primarily because
Rodrigo's gonna Rodrigo.
Shakiri wants to pick a fight because he already got his face messed up, so he wanted another shiner to match the other side.
Right, Kiklina, how is it that Rodrigo, no matter who, it's a big name player every time. When it was 3-1, if I was Oscar, I would have just subbed on Rodrigo in the Open Cup just to get at Messi, because you know he would have done it. He would have done something to him. That would have been hilarious. Well, Mike, what did you feel about the performance at that second half? We controlled it pretty well. I think we were, you know, good adjustments by Oscar. I felt like we were set up correctly. We just weren't executing at the beginning. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of fortune in the fact that they had 2 goals called back. I know the second one was kind of a little bit more of a phantom callback as far as VAR, but for me on the replay, I saw the handball that I think was the call. The commentators definitely got people confused because they were like, I think they're calling offsides, but he definitely wasn't offsides at all. But they
were showing bad angles in the stadium too.
They were showing bad angles, but for me, it was a handball. That's why it was called back, and I'm fine with that. It was a good performance. The thing is, it was well coached, well adjusted, and you had to feel good about that coming back because being away for a while, Chicago is not necessarily an easy place to play. Soldier Field is usually a very windy environment. So you have the elements, and Chicago has actually been a little bit more respectable this year. Like, they've been drawing better crowds. They've been having better performances. So it wasn't going to be like a cakewalk of a game. So to struggle the way that we did and then to come back and get the victory, very, very good performance. And, I'm happy with the outcome, but we got a big one coming up now this weekend that we got to prepare ourselves for.
Do you feel we were lucky and because of, I mean, the handball was a handball. You know, if you touch your hand like that and it leads to a goal, that's just what the rule is. But you feel a little bit lucky. I mean, because they completely just bottled that chance in the box. I mean, well, you score a goal, who knows how the game goes. Personally, I feel like we would have been back in it. I don't know why. You know, maybe because we do score quickly afterwards. But do you think it was just a well-deserved 3 points, or there was some luck involved there?
No, it was a well-deserved 3 points. I mean, if you look at the expected goals, that tells the story too. Our expected goals to theirs was, you know, basically factored out to 3-1, which was the final score of the game.
Yeah.
So they had more shots. We had more shots on target. You know, we just did more with what we had, and we won the game. So, no, it was definitely deserved. I was just saying that, you know, some of those boneheaded plays or, you know, luck that might have happened, I just think it was more than luck. It was more fortunate than anything, I think.
Right. Gotcha. Now, overall, I think it was a solid performance. Now, speaking of performances, let's get into the performance of key players. Let's go stock up, stock down, Alex. Who was your stock up, stock down for the Chicago Fire match?
Stock up is definitely Wilder Cartagena. He very easily could have had a brace in this match. He had, was that directly off a free kick where he was curling it in and the Chicago keeper had to reach, or was that a
no, pass that was
off
a,
of one?
Yeah, it was off a pass. Yeah.
So that was a brilliant shot.
Yeah, and that goes in. That might have been the best goal in Orlando City. Like, that was for like 30 yards out, like top bins curler. That was insane.
It looked a lot like some of the stuff we were used to watching with Messi during Leagues Cup. And it was, I thought he was spot on. And I'm just sad that they actually got to it. The goalkeeper actually positioned himself correctly. But then he got the actual goal. He just didn't get it with his feet. He got it off of his head thanks to Facundo. So he was playing well. He had some great passes as well, and he was definitely my stud. My dud is Mauricio, and it's just his passing isn't the same. Like, he had a handful of passes that just looked like they didn't have the same energy that we're used to. And I know that this has kind of been a common theme, but for me lately, I think I've had him as my dud in like a handful of times this season, but the guy's not the same player that he used to be. And it's starting to and it's starting to make me wonder, do we need to start talking about getting another number 10 and to succeed him? I think we had this conversation at some point earlier in the season or late last year. So
yeah, well great, fair enough. Yeah, there's moments where he's just the touch is just off on that final pass. Mike, your studs and duds, I mean stock up, stock down, or whatever, either one, both.
Stock up, stock down. Yeah, so my stock up is got to go to Mr. DDT, Dagger Dan.
Yeah,
I'm giving him a stock up because of the fact that we had seen him do the right back experiment coming off the bench, and he was pretty much just an attacking option doing that. This time around, I felt like he looked much more confident on defense, was in better positions defensively. I agree with you that when he drew the PK, he 100% missed a pass that he would have put Facu through. Obviously, getting the penalty is a bit good consolation, so I'm not mad about it. But I agree. I saw that pass right there with you too and thought he made the wrong decision. But I got to give my man credit, Dagger Dan, DDT. I thought he did an excellent job this week. My stock down, and this is going to be a little bit of a weird one, but you got to stick with me, is Ivan Angulo. I know he got a goal, and that's great. But there's so many times in the final third right now where he's just not firing on all cylinders for me. He's missing passes. He's dribbling when he should be looking for someone to lay the ball off to. I feel like there'd be a lot more opportunities created if he was just picked his head up a little bit more, or was just course correcting on a couple of decisions that he's making. Obviously, great that he got a goal. So it's a little bit harsh to give him a stock down, in my opinion. But I just want to see a little bit more out of the guy. Like, he's been on much more of an up this year than he did last year as far as production goes, which is great. But I need to see more of that chance creation as well, rather than just, you know, getting a header there for the goal.
Now we saw today in training, we saw Gaston Gonzalez is back. What would you do with that? And go to see your starter on the left or Gaston? He was starting at the, you know, he was starting. We were doing the, he was starting at wing back when we had the three at the back, and he did play a couple games straight up as a winger. Would you consider switching that up or?
Hold on. I'm getting a phone call here, and it's from one of our DPs who would like to be playing. I'd like to get Mr. Martin Ojeda on the field a little bit more.
There you go.
Possibly get that. I know he's more of an inverted winger and should be playing on the right, and him and Faku could have a little bit of a rotation. But it's mind-blowing to me that we're 24 games into the season and we can't find a real rotation where both of our DP wingers can be playing on the field at the same time together. So that's for me. I still want to see that. And Gula's been great, but if you look at Ojeda's production off the bench, he still has solid numbers, similar statistics to what Angulo has. I just want to see more of Martin Ojeda in a starting capacity, but that's what I'm hoping for.
That's the call. Yeah, to me, Gaston's a third string there at the winger, period. Cleon, stock up, stock down. We get some surprise picks so far. It's a little bit nitpicky, 3-1, to pick stock downs, but
yeah,
you guys have had good reasons.
Yeah,
Cleon, go ahead.
I'm going to go stock up. I also got to go Cartagena. He's solidified himself. He really is. We've been talking about it all seasons. That's when our season pretty much turned around. And every tournament, everything we're in, it's, his name's always coming up and things like that when we're in announcers are watching the game. And he's just started to make a name for himself. So I'll go stock up Wilder. Junior Urso's coming back, and I can't even – and you know what Urso's done for this club, and I can't even imagine Urso unseating him. You know what I mean? Which says a lot.
It's good to have him on the bench. That's fun.
Yeah, which says a lot, man. Stock down. I can't go stock down on too many people that actually played this game. Unless it's like Schlegel, but Schlegel's Schlegel. So it's kind of stock even for me with him. he was already down there for me. So I can't say he dropped down. Yeah. He never really came up. I love the guy, but he's a mess.
He's a wild man.
He's a wild boy, man. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go. Oh man, I don't know, man. I really don't know. It's stock down. It's got to be these dudes is not playing because I don't know how they're gonna get back in to rotate with Earth. Like I said, Urso coming in, Felipe. I don't think I'm seeing you again, buddy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Close out a game or something.
Yeah, I mean, Felipe. Most likely, I ain't gonna see him. Like I said, Schlegel, I would give it a Schlegel, but it's not really stocked down. That's just who he is. You know what I mean? I got nothing, man.
Let me ask you something, Cleon. Who are you starting on right back? Now that we have two and a half or three right backs.
I almost thought about him too. But it's for me, it's still Smith. It would have to still be Smith. And it's not even like Smith setting the world on fire or something right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know what I mean? It's like, I just, you guys know how I am. I don't have patience for all that. You know what I mean? Yes. Like I'm not, this is my thing. I'm not like against playing kids and stuff like, well, let me rephrase that. I'm not against playing kids if they can play. You know what I mean? I'm not saying Mikey can't play at all, mm-hmm. But I feel like against top teams, you're starting off at a hole. And I'm not, what I don't believe in is I don't believe in development of players at the risk of the team. You know what I mean? If I can put a team out there that's always going to compete and is always going to win, then, and I can also have a kid I'm trying to develop out there while that winning is happening. That's a different story. I can do that. But you know what I mean? When our margins are always razor thin with this team, as far as wins and losses and and not draws and things like that. We're not good enough to have the talent around everywhere else to cover that hole. You know what I mean?
We're not good enough to experiment, that kind of thing.
It's not just experiment, but it's like we're not good enough to when you play a guy that's he has potential. Let's say he has potential. And he said, well, if we can get him on the field more, he can get up to MLS starter level, which is, but at the end of the day, if you're really trying to win, your right back's supposed to already be that anyway. You know what I mean? So if your team is that talented to where, and you got a Messi covering up a whole bunch of mess, you got a biscuit man covering up a whole bunch of mess. That's a little different. Like Miami's out there. They got a couple kids throwing them in there. They got freaking Messi covering up this thing. You know what I mean? We don't have that.
This kid's just running around for him to walk around, you know?
Yeah.
They just send a 19-year-old to go chase people around.
Yeah. Like, so our margins they're too thin.
Yeah.
For us, man.
I'm with you. I mean, it's tough. I don't think there's a huge space between them. The Dagger Dad might be we know offensively, I mean, he delivers, he's a good ball striker. He just decision making is an issue, but this break helped him, like Mike said, get a little more comfortable on the defense. That might be the bridge right now, especially since the midfield is a little more crowded.
When you asked me that question, I didn't even think about Dagger.
Also, I said three. What was
number? Yeah, I was only thinking of Mikey and Kyle. Smith. I wasn't really thinking of him.
Mikey and Kyle remind me of like the 49ers. You know, like they got a Super Bowl ready defense, and the Trey Lance shows upside and needs snaps, but they didn't got time for it because they got, you know what I mean? They got a Super Bowl ready roster and they don't got time to bring up a quarterback. So you got, you know, Kyle Smith, Brock Purdy over there, you know, mm-hmm. who's gonna contribute. Very similar kind of, you know, just
ideally for me, I would like an upgrade.
Yeah,
I would like a guy who I don't have to worry about it.
Maybe that's there.
You know what I mean?
He did have a better.
We got to see him enough to find out. But
yeah, if someone needs minutes, you can make the case he needs minutes, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
at the same time. So, but yeah, to go to Mike's point about Ojeda. So my stock up, stock down, stock up. I'm gonna give. I think Dagger's a good shout. I think Wilder's gonna be, you know, the choice. You know, it's a good choice. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Wilder too. Just, I mean, that nutmeg was great. That banger from deep. He seems so comfortable. You know, when people are like in the zone, flowing, right? He's just in the right. He's in the right places. He's just seems to be just plain solid. Shots are coming off. Passes are coming off. You know, Wilder's just really top form right now. And that break, he was not rusty coming back from the break. And I do think Mauricio, you know, 70-something percent passing, I think this last match, 74%. We just need a little bit more tidiness. I love that goal. He scored a couple matches back, but this match just seemed like he didn't feel like it made enough of an imprint on it. But I don't think he was awful or anything like that. But you know, shout out the Angulo. I've been something we've, me and Mike especially, have been harping on for quite a bit. He's just wasteful. Part of the reason he's in MLS is because, despite that devastating pace and ability to take people on, it's something like Cleon said. When we watched this video first, Cleon, remember that? When we watched the scouting, you said he could get past almost anybody and get in the box whenever he wants, but then nothing comes from it. Remember? He gets in the box whenever he wants, but there's no goals or assists. Now he's doing some. He's got goals. He's got four goals, five assists in 1900 minutes. Ojeda's got four goals, eight assists according to MLS is site in 1200 minutes. Or, you know, so if you're gonna look at it minus that extra stuff, it's really seven goals and assists for Angulo and nine goals and assists for Ojeda without the hockey assist with 600 less minutes and not in his preferred position too, you know, coming in different game states. So there's a case to be made there for, you know, Ojeda for sure. And now Mike, I want to ask you something here. We'll go into the next topic. If first match in 18 days, I don't know why we looked rusty. What do you think it was? I don't think we played a different style. What do you think that was about?
Honestly, for me, it's most likely just rust, you know, taking that much time off and then going into a game. we heard reports. I think it was Alonzo Contreras from Area Sports mentioned that we had like a friendly scheduled, and then it just turned out to be like an intra-squad friendly between like the A team and the B team. You know, kind of disappointing. I had heard that there was other friendlies that had happened, like I believe NYCFC and Austin had a friendly after getting knocked out of the tournament. If we had something like that to keep our guys a little bit more fresh, some outside competition, I feel like that would have been better for the group. So for me, it's most likely just rust getting back onto the field. First game being away definitely also kind of brings that brings in a little bit of a struggle. But I'm hoping that big game at home here on Saturday against a good team will bring out a lot of good fans. We'll have a great turnout, and the you know home crowd will energize the team into putting in a good performance, a good shift here on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so, too. Now, did this match this weekend against St. Louis, who just came off a six-goal, you know, spanking of, what was it, Austin, right? They put six on Austin. Oof. Nico Giochini out there, two really good goals for a brace. This is the beginning of a marathon. We have three matches in 8 days, and then we get a 14-day break for another break. This is for the international break. So Alex, how do you feel about that? Three, you know, rotation, three games in 8 days. Do we need rotation after this break plus another break? And we're right now fourth in the East, fifth in the supporter shield. Can we use this opportunity to climb even though St. Louis is in the West?
Yeah, absolutely we can. Having this many matches in a row as far as one big chunk, another break, and then another big chunk is going to help Oscar a lot. And I'm sure he already knows, as far as strategizing goes, I'm sure he knows in a lot of ways what he needs to do out of the gate for a lot of these clubs and how he's going to do it, especially considering we're healthy. Like the only health issues we have right now, as far as people on the list, are AC and Kara. And even then, Kara might be better by then. And Ace, it sounded like AC's knock wasn't serious. They don't tell us that. I'm being hopeful in this, but we're going into this with a relatively refreshed squad. And Mike was talking earlier about Gaston and also how he would like to see Ojeda. I think this is a prime opportunity, not just the next three matches, but the next, there's 35 days, seven matches from this coming Saturday until our match on the 30th against Montreal. And that's a lot of time where we're going to have to make rotations. We're going to have multiple Wednesday matches, especially in September. And you've got to make, no matter how young your team is, you have to make rotations. And I think that Oscar is going to use that. I was a little confused by some of the changes we made for, I know it was only two big changes against Chicago, but I think that was a test balloon for Oscar. I think he was throwing a couple players in to see if they could do well. And he got to also bring in two injured players at the end because we had elite. So all this to say, it's a prime time where we can optimize our support as far as bench players, as far as rotation, and be that deep club that we've kind of talked about all season and we might just now be getting into at a prime time. I mean, St. Louis, mm-hmm. looking at the schedule for the next week, we have some challenges. We got St. Louis at home, Charlotte away, FC Cincinnati in Cincinnati. So we're making a big away trip for the second half of the week. Charlotte's going to be more easy pickings, but FC Cincinnati is going to be the one that really challenges us. I think St. Louis, I said it to you guys earlier, I think St. Louis wasted all their goals on Austin last week. I think we've got a good chance of welcoming them into the league with a good performance at home. So that's the key. That's how we kick off this marathon.
Yeah, we got to. I mean, Charlotte already beat us, and in away is always tough. I mean, I wish the club just stayed, you know, like a Charlotte for a couple of days, and then coming back, and then go to Cincinnati. You know, that would be a good idea because they're playing Charlotte on the 30th, and then Cincinnati
get some
on the
Charlotte
2nd.
Dogs, and then some chili dogs up in Cincinnati.
Yeah, some Bojangles or something, whatever, and then head over to Cincinnati and get some diarrhea chili. No offense, writer. This is Skyline Chili. I'm just kidding. Cleon, I know you're not big on rotations. Three games and 8 matches. If we beat Charlotte and Cincinnati, that'll help. So Charlotte's below us on the table. Cincinnati's not the top, but hey, all points matter. Especially if you can, they matter a little extra. Maybe beating two East teams in a matter of a week. Especially after that, we got Columbus, Eastern, since NYC East, Miami East, Montreal East, Nashville, New England. We finish with the East the rest of the way. St. Louis is the only team in the West we're going. So, how are you feeling about this? How would you approach these this next week here?
I mean, my thing with rotation is I don't think coaches should be doing mass rotation all at once. Like, I don't understand why more coaches don't stagger and things like that. You know what I mean? You pick maybe one guy out of the attack, one guy out of the thing, you switch them. Next game, reverse that and just go like that. Like, but like mass rotation, bro, like you just asking for a bunch of drop points, if you ask me. Like, right now we're creeping back up the standings. Depending on what happens, a couple of these teams can already be qualified for CCL soon. Depending on what happens in, you know, US Open Cup and Supporters Shield, things like that. So I mean, we have things to play for, man. We've been eliminated from all the trophy contention. We're not going to win a trophy outside, unless we're going to win MLS Cup. So at this point, all you got to shoot for is that and a CCL bar.
Right. But how do you the key is getting hot at the right time when we started off the return.
And we are. And yeah. We are. We,
but do you rest a little bit of guys? Do you take a maybe at home or on the road, like let's Cincinnati or something? Do you rotate a little bit then? Mikey starts or whatever. You know, this is the thing. The depth in the midfield, because Dagger can play there too, and Urso is back. And then we have three right backs and two left backs. It's center back depth, man. Because if someone was Rodrigo,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
that's
or he gets problem. Two, or he Rodrigo gets two yellows.
We don't have
we
don't have depth there.
We don't have depth. Well, what's going to happen? We're going to come down a stretch of Thomas Williams or something. That's the one spot that's got me worried. Wingers, we got Gaston Angulo, we got Ojeda, we got Faku, we got whatever, you know. And then strikers, Duncan, Cara, and Enrique. Enrique can play on the left all the time, anyways, right? Etc. And then now Urso, I really like Urso coming in for Mauricio, because Urso is underrated with the final ball in the third. He's really kind of the glue guy. He's a connector, but he can provide bite and more attack. So I really like him coming in as Mauricio sub, you know. If anything, I wouldn't mind him starting a few, just, you know, a game or two in there. I think Mauricio's got that spot locked down. But how do you, that's what I guess the question is, how do you juggle that? You know, it's like, do you, I mean, there's another break. I guess you don't really need to, right?
I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, you're talking about 14, you got another 14 day
stretch. Yeah, the second to the 16th. So.
After basically being off a month.
Yeah.
Like, rest what?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mike, you agree? What do you think? How do you think right now, fourth in the East? Where do you, you know, how do you see us climbing the table during this stretch? And how would you kind of go about this final, you know, like the Kentucky Derby, to say down the stretch they come? I mean, this is, like Cleon said, we don't have anything else to play for. This is it for us right here. Make a run. Teams get hot in the playoffs. Who knows, man? What do you think?
It has got to be balls to the wall right now. That's the only thing, is you have to put your foot on the gas and just press until it's all the way down to the floor. That's the only philosophy you can have, because at this point, here's what I'm looking at. The way that it's now the CONCACAF Champions Cup, the way that the seeds for that are determined and how teams qualify. If Cincinnati who is the in pole position for the supporter shield, if they win the U.S. Open Cup, there is so much more likelihood because of the fact that Nashville and Philadelphia got spots from the League's Cup that Orlando City can qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League just by finishing as high as third in the East. So we have to press to get up there. And also we have to root for Cincinnati to win the Open Cup. That'll help too. But yeah, no.
How will that help?
So if they win the CONCACAF Champions Cup berth by winning the U.S. Open Cup, then that means the runner-up for the Supporter Shield will then go ahead and get an automatic berth. The other berths are determined by winning MLS Cup, the top finishing team from the opposite division of the Supporter Shield standings also ends up getting qualified into the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then the two top Supporter Shield standing teams after that also get qualification into the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So there's four teams based off of Supporter Shield standings, essentially, that will get in. Mm-hmm. First in the East, first in the West, and then the two best after that. Wow. Right now, if you look at the top five in the Supporter Shield standings, Philly and Nashville are two teams that are right in there ahead of us, or at least they were going into this past weekend. So those are teams that we don't have to worry about. And if Cincinnati wins, that's three of the teams ahead of us that could be vying for those positions. So as long as we maintain where we're at or get up a little bit further, like if we get ahead of New England at some point, we're a shoe-in for a Champions League spot just off of standings at the end of the season. So,
and they just sold their hey, is their keeper they just sold? Is he leaving now? Or
oh, he's gone.
He's gone. He's in England.
There you go, man.
They got to rely on the landlord now.
Yeah. We got to jump them. Like right now, that should be our sole focus, bro. Like,
and they have no like coach. Saying,
and we have to circle that match. Toronto on decision day is not the match that's going to be the biggest for us. I mean, at this point, we're going to at least make the playoffs. It's more how far up the table do we go as far as getting a advantage for at least two home matches in the three match series for the playoffs.
True.
But when you're looking at New England, Philadelphia is ahead of us as well. We're fifth. Philadelphia is in fourth on a technicality because they have a better goal differential. Or actually, it's points per game now, right?
Yeah.
So they've got a slightly better points per game, but New England, like you were saying, New England, we got to get past them, and we're only 3 points behind them right now.
Good game,
and we can pass them before, or it might come down to the penultimate match of the season. But yeah, we also, if you look right above New England, St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis is the only team in the top eight of the Supporter Shield. Is Nashville still in the West?
No, they're in the East.
Okay, so St. Louis is the only team in the top eight of the Supporter Shield standings that is up there. Everybody else, LAFC is ninth. And beating St. Louis this weekend, and we can go right into talking about it, I guess, is a big deal. Like we need to put a lot of effort into this because we might need that 6-point swing to get that CONCACAF Champions Cup berth.
And Cleon, good points, Alex. And Cleon, you were talking about overtaking the Revs. That not only is their keeper gone, their best keeper in the league, in my opinion, Bruce Arena is out there, you know, not coaching, right? So you think they're right for the picking?
Yeah, you gotta get it now, man. You gotta get it now. We can't let up. We've been on a roll in what, our last 15, 16 matches or so. I think we've lost like what, two?
Two losses dating back to May 13th, not including League's Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, we just gotta keep rolling at this point, man. And right now, what you're looking at, if FC Cincinnati, they can pull off a little nice upset and maybe, you know, win Open Cup. At that point, you're really just looking at New England.
Yeah.
And holding off Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And New England is a team that supposedly is in for like a free agent goalkeeper right now that they've been negotiating with, but it's not over the line as far as Tom Bogert has to say. But if they don't, they're riding with Earl Edwards Jr. Like, that's not, you know, love Earl for his time down here and working with Black Players for Change and stuff like that. Like, he's a good guy, but like, they're not. He's not an elite goalkeeper in the league.
Even the one they're picking up, I mean, he's got some experience at some bigger clubs. It's hard to say at his age, too.
And the Czech Republic's national team a bunch.
Yeah, he's going to be as good as you know, this dude. Oh, I forgot his name. Petro something. Petrovich. Petro Oil. I forgot.
Petrovich,
yeah. So, we've had it. We've definitely – all these matches are huge. All these matches have implications. The only team we face from the West is the team, you know, who's above us in the Shield. The only Western team above us in the Shield is St. Louis, right? And then the rest is just Eastern Conference. So every match is huge implications. And now we're not – also, too, think about the players. You know, a lot of it's next year. It could be a lot of people coming in and out because there's some contracts going to be expiring. People playing for livelihood. Also, the coach. We don't have a, you know, it's the end of his contract, etc. So there's a lot riding on making this season into a positive. Because if we just one and done in the way we left the Open Cup, Leagues Cup, it's kind of a pass. But the way we left the Open Cup won't feel as successful as a season. So let's go preview to St. Louis. They just came off of a butt whooping of Austin. Mike, how do you approach St. Louis? And I mean, Nico Giacchini, 2 goals. They got goals coming from everywhere. Even with their striker, he's not come back, right? Their main guy, was it Klaus? Yeah, and then you know they have a good goalkeeper. And this is a club that a lot of people had as a wooden spoon candidate. A lot of people thought, they didn't really have, they weren't picking up some good DPs. They have a style of play. They have a style that's given us trouble. That Red Bulls, heavy meth fed football, or whatever kind of stuff that the Red Bulls brand is known for, that's given us problems in the past. That kind of press has been an issue. Oscar solved it a little bit. We've beaten Red Bulls lately. It's turned around from a bogey team to a team that he could handle. But St. Louis is better than the Red Bulls. So, how do you approach this? This is a team that scores a lot, that does a lot of good stuff, and they don't necessarily need to have the ball either. They find ways to score. So what do you think?
So for me, yes, they are the like highest scoring team in the league this year. But you got to look at some of the results. They're very boom or bust. So like if you look early in the season, win 3-2, win 3-1, win 3-0, win 4-0. They put 5 up on a team. They put 6 up on a team. They put 4 up again. Like, but then their losses are, you know, 2-0, 1-1 draws, you know, stuff like that. Lose 3-0. Like if you can contain them, you can beat them. As long as we take our chances, they're a team that is beatable and can be broken down. But like even looking at the last game, like Austin's been a bad team and they still scored 3 goals on them. Their defense isn't incredible. And also if you look at the expected goals, Austin had expected goals of 3.44 in that 6-3 loss. And St. Louis had an expected goals of 1.7. Like, so they were scoring goals that didn't make sense realistically. So there's a little bit of luck on their side. Don't get me wrong. They're absolutely a good team. I'm not trying to belittle that for any fact or anything like that. But they're a team that's beatable. We shouldn't go into this game being scared. We got to go in and play our game. We got to mitigate their chances, and we got to make our own. And that's been the thing that's been the struggle. Like, we're starting to score more goals now, but the issues that we've been having is chance creation. It's always been the issue that we've been having is chance creation. So if we can go and create chances, they're a team that we can beat 100%.
Gotcha. And if you look at their last few games, I mean, Toronto's terrible. They beat them 1-0. They got rocked by LAFC 3-0. They beat pre-Messi Miami, which is the worst team in the league, 3-0. But then Columbus took them out. Club America put 4 on them. And then even Austin put three on them. So, you know, like you said, a little bit boom or bust. And they, you know, they lost, they won two out of five the last five games. So yeah, now they're going, now they're going on the road too. They're going away and they just played. It's going to be, you know, at home, our form at home is almost the same as on the road. Five wins at home, six wins on the road. It's crazy how, the, considering how we started, we've actually gotten good at home. So.
And that's another thing that I'll add too. It's important to note is you got to look at home and away form. Like if you look at home form for St. Louis, they're the third or fourth best home form team in the league with a plus 22 goal differential, but they have a negative three goal differential on the road. So they're
that crowd is nice in St. Louis. I mean, that atmosphere.
The home crowd helps them, but they're beatable on the road. So you have to beat them on the road. They've scored 35 goals at home. They've scored 14 away. You know, and it's the same amount of games, roughly.
So, do you, what's your prediction for the match?
I want us to definitely have one of the best away records in the records against teams from the opposite conference in the league. As Andrew Wiebe used to word it, it was his bonus game metric. Right now we're currently 4-1-1 in bonus games this year. Let's make it a good, or 3-1-1 in bonus games this year. Let's make it 4-1-1. I'm giving a victory. We're going to shut them down. It's going to be let's give it another 3-1. And we're going to get, knock on wood, we're going to get a Duncan McGuire hattie.
Ooh, smiling. He was out there, you know, thinking about that first round pick. He's got number one overall pick in the fantasy draft. You said Duncan Hattie, you brought him back
in. Yeah, no, I just gave him like a reminder of like what it was like when he had his first slow dance. Like that's what it felt like that warm feeling.
And it's funny because you see Duncan, you're like, oh, he didn't score. You look back, man, just two games he didn't score. You know, he scored like the three previous before, right? But
bro,
but
it's like
he's still his longest streak of not scoring.
Yeah, and he's still out there shoving people, making plays happen, winning balls back, hustling. You know, so love that.
Bro, anytime Duncan plays a game and he doesn't score, it's like it feels weird.
It's like it really
you
does.
You get so used to it, bro. And it's like, well, and he goes, then if he goes like two games that I scored, then it feels like it's been like a month.
Yeah, this is absolutely correct. Besides, you know, when he was like just subbing on little as a starter, he's had two games. He had Seattle and Chicago last time where he didn't score. And those, and then he hasn't scored against Chicago in two matches as a starter. Seattle, but that's it. That's the longest. Like you said, Alex, two matches is his longest without a goal. So, hey, he's due. So, Alex, what do you think? What do you think? St. Louis, you know, I know. I want unbiased here. Chicago, St. Louis, I know you guys got your beefs. But, you know, your toasta ravioli versus lasagna pizza or whatever.
Yeah, forget about that. The Cardinals are just a bad baseball team this year, and that's fun to watch. Sorry, Alex Brown. I know you're a Cardinals fan, whatever. Yeah. So thank you so much to Mike for leaving me one stat. Those were great stats on the home and away form. I was going, gosh darn it, he took them from me, but he left me one little morsel on the bone, and that is the wins and losses. They have the same amount of draws home and away. They only have two draws all season, which that's crazy. But they have 9 wins and 3 losses at home, St. Louis, and they are 5-1-5 away. So we're at home. Our home form has improved considering what we went through in the start of the season. I think this is a winnable match. I don't think it's going to be as close as Mike said, but I think this is a 2-1 win where we take advantage of them trying to press and we do quite a bit of countering. We're definitely going to, I'm crossing my fingers that Antonio Carlos can at least get into the game, maybe off the bench, not necessarily start, but he is going to be key to helping with this, and the double pivot obviously will help as well. But I think it's a 2-1 win, and I will deprive Duncan of his hat trick, and I'll say he gets a brace.
Man, so Duncan scored never.
Yeah, but I will also say that Giochini will get a goal in front of his former Orlando teammates. So
gotcha.
Mike, I'm still so sad that we had to give him up and he's doing so well. It's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
He would have fit in if we didn't bring in a couple of the players we did. But
did we have to get rid of him though?
No, like
he was just because we didn't protect him and he was probably one of the more attractive players because he was an international
Europe, etc.
Yeah.
He's got 10 goals right now. They're that 4-4-1-1 that they're playing with it right now. It was Giochini and Klaus, but right now it's Jackson and Giochini. Giochini, that's tough. I don't feel that great about. I hear what you guys are saying, but I don't feel like that's a good matchup with Schlegel. I mean, when you have two runners like that stretching out the center backs, I just don't.
So you
don't
think
like
AC
it.
Needs to start?
No, AC is not going to start. I don't think, because I think he's hurt, and they're not going to rush him because that's just not how the club is. The idea of AC starting this week is just I think it's a low chance of that happening at all. And also AC is a great defender, but these small guys who pop up and have freedom to roam, they're the ones who give us trouble. Whether it's Joseph when he was better, whether it's dude from Columbus, those little guys are the ones who give us trouble. And Jed Giochini is little, it's just that he's just very mobile, so on. So I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. I went for a 2-2 draw against the Fire, and we won 3-1. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say Angulo gets a goal because he mostly, I think besides his goal, he only scores on counters. I think if we were that double pivot is clean in the midfield, Mauricio's clean that day, we're going to have a chance to counter against him. I'm going to give Angulo a goal and a counter, and I'm going to give Duncan a goal. Duncan's going to score on Parker. It's going to be, couple good old, country guys going at it, and Duncan's going to relish the physicality of Parker and just find a way to get a goal off, because he's due. 2 games, fought a goal. This is when he scores. So that's my prediction, Cleon. What do you think, man?
I was feeling more confident till you're talking about AC's probably still not going to be playing.
I mean, they said he's still, it's not
optimism.
Trading
today. He might get off the bench. That's my optimism. What is,
I don't understand that, to be honest, because he's off the bench, like when? 70th minute? At that point, I don't know. Unless we're in the lead, what is that going to do in the last 20 minutes, a center back,
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, Cleon, what do you think, man? It's AC or Rodrigo? What do you I mean? Is it hinging on that?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, because I see two runners coming. I see Rodrigo making space. Oof.
Rodrigo wouldn't make a back pass to a cherry picker, would he? Because St. Louis is known for that.
That's right. Yeah, man, they got something going on. How many they had this year? Three like that? It's ridiculous.
Like about 3-4.
Yeah. So, and Giochini's revenge game. We didn't play him. To me, he looked like a good player. We just didn't play him. And our system last year was garbage. It wasn't productive. This year, we're in the top half for goals. We got 37 goals. It's crazy. Our goal differential is 8, which is the highest, I believe, or near the highest with the Oscar era for at least Orlando. So, I thought he would have fit better this year, Giochini. So, with that question, who would you rather have, Giochini or Cara? So, yeah.
The one that's not a DP? has 10 goals?
Yeah, and Alex, if they were not DPs each, would you rather have
the one with 10 goals?
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with him. The one with 10 goals. That's also, I'm pretty sure he's on a under 22 contract still, right?
Man, he might be right on the edge. I forgot his age, but he is. I like mobility and speed too. He's 6 foot. He's not like small, but. I just like that type of player versus like a big lug like Cara. It's just not my style of striker per se. Mike, you got with your Cara jersey right behind you. How you feeling?
Yeah, the signed Cara jersey that I got from the man himself. I'm with you. Mobility, non-DP status, also has 10 goals this year. Didn't lose his job to a rookie.
I was gonna leave that out, but you gotta throw that in. And Nico is 23, by the way. Yeah,
hey, that's no, July. no, It's one of those things. It's not harsh to say because Duncan's been incredible. You know, Duncan's been a great player, and that really shouldn't be no fault to Kara because Kara was playing well. It's just Duncan was playing better. And the thing that stinks on top of that is that it, you know, has kind of resulted in, like, now he's further down the pecking order, because usually when you're trying to attack the game, if you're down or something like that, you want a more mobile player to come in, which is why you end up seeing Ramiro Henrique come in before Kara off the bench now.
Right.
Kara comes in when you have to throw in the kitchen sink, you know?
Right. Yeah. It just, you know, it's just tough to lose on that. But last year it wasn't a lot there. It was about an upside. I mean, I get it, but, you know, I just knew he was going to come good. I said he was good last year. You just look at his movement and what he was trying to do. Sometimes you're trying to make plays, other people, just the level wasn't there to combine. Yeah. He worked well with, like, Faku, who's an intelligent player. He would have worked good with Fojeda and with Duncan, But yeah, at the end of the day, Duncan versus Nico, that's the question. Who would you rather take? I'll still go with my man Duncan in that case.
Yeah,
anybody disagree?
I'd still take Duncan there too. And I was also with you. I liked Giochini when we brought him in last year. I kind of hoped that we got more time with him. But at the same time, we were trying to win an Open Cup and the team was gelling. When was their time to fit him in? You know,
right,
it's unfortunate byproduct of us having success last year.
Yeah. And you know what? Once I saw him not track back a couple times, I was like, he's not going to play. Anybody disagree? I'd take Duncan over Giochini.
You know where I stand.
Yeah. Cleon, you're probably offended I even asked. Cleon's rusty today. Yeah.
Cleon's looking at his fantasy sheets. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm gonna he's doing well, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's got what, 11 goal contributions in more than double Duncan's minutes. So it's, as well as he's playing, Duncan's playing better.
Right. And in this
so it's like,
and that system, the goals are on counterattacks a lot, you know. It's not like, you know, he's on breaks a lot. You know, so my point is that system is conducive to scoring like chaotic goals. You go, that Red Bull system is, you go and create crazy turnovers in the middle of the field, and then boom, you got counterattacks. That's kind of the whole German whatever way of
chaotic goals. It kind of sounds like Duncan, don't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Duncan over there will be eating, buddy.
You might have 30 over there.
Yeah, right out there eating for sure. Well, fellas, so Cleon, what's your score prediction for St. Louis, man?
Man. You know, games? That's a weird team, man.
I can see us murking them, but I can see them murking us too.
Yes. So I'm gonna go like you said, I'm gonna go 3-3.
3-3. Oh, I said 2-2. That's 3-3 would be a heck of a game. No,
3-3, man. They're like MLS's version of Wrexham, bro. Like with all the crazy scores. With the crazy scores and stuff they have, bro.
Another 5-5 match.
The really weird games they have. It's like
that's them, bro. Right, for sure. All right, then the shout outs. Anyone got any particular shout outs? I know Cleon's got one. You want to go first or you want to save it for the end? I don't think anyone's going to steal yours.
I'll go first.
You'll go first. Go ahead. Cleon's got sermon illustrations now. He's got video proof. He's got
it's upside down, Cleon.
What is it?
Inside, it don't matter, bro. Yeah. Inside of this, I'll do my boxing unveiling right now.
I know this is
the podcast.
Best part is we're recording this via video still.
I might put this video up. We'll see.
So I was actually supposed to send this to our current champion, if you want to call him that.
Won the trophy.
Beat me by default last year in the final because all my guys was injured. Brock Purdy and all them was injured. But I'm going to let you know, this year is on.
And this is what we're playing for. This is what we're playing for.
This is what we're playing for.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. That looks for, you know, maybe put the video up, but it looks like the Benji belt, but for Fantasy Football League. We got Orlando Lions Den Fantasy Football League. We got promotion, relegation, and everything. RIP Adrian.
If Matt, this thing heavy, bro. If Matt ever responds to my DM, I can send it. I'm trying to make sure his address is the same. I'm gonna send it to his house so he can hold on to it for the rest of the season until he got to mail it back to me.
Right. Yeah.
He can raise the banner
when I win my championship. Hey, finally,
you might need to meet Matt at a match because the shipping and handling on that's gonna be a good pretty penny. That looks heavy.
And it's not like Cleon's not going to get into the stadium with a belt like that.
It's a lot better than our previous trophy, you know.
Oh yeah. The Weibos.
No, that trophy was nuts. Yeah. And, literally.
Hey, that trophy made people a little bit testy sometimes. Calm down.
That's it. All right. So, Alex, shout outs. Any shout outs?
My shout out is kind of lame, but we were talking about Cincinnati earlier.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like George Lucas or something.
No. That's why I'm literally going to hang up on you guys as soon as this is over and go watch Ahsoka. George Lucas had nothing to do with Ahsoka. But shout out to Cincinnati. I'm sorry. Have some self-respect with your t-shirt. They're putting up this t-shirt where it's a lion, like their winged lion mascot, whatever it is.
The Kroger logo.
Food lion.
Yeah, food lion. Food lion.
Orange food lion with a sword over a pink goat, which is literally you're literally saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah,
have some shame and go in there. You are leading the league. That you are at the top of the table in the supporter shield standings. They are at the bottom eating what you are dropping down. The only reason you are putting this up there is you want to sell t-shirts to all of the people that are just showing up to see Messi because he's in Cincinnati. I want to see Messi go eat a Skyline Chili. Come on.
Ryder.
Have some self-respect.
Bro, I'm going to just assume you haven't actually seen what's way worse than that. Because if you were going to shout that out, I don't know how you'd skip
the one point t-shirt.
No,
the bro. Refs. There's no way he's seen it. There's no way he's seen it because he wouldn't even have went with that one.
Yeah.
Bro, New England is sending emails to their fans to say Messi has scored in every game he's played in. He's playing us next. Come see Messi score on us.
I mean, to Holy be fair, do we entity, know Batman. What do we know what the owner of New England does in Miami or near Miami? Just saying.
Hey, you know what?
Bro, if my rep
he scores in other ways.
Telling me come score, come watch Messi score on my team.
Yeah.
That's what?
Yeah, I would be like, how about
bro, what?
Yeah, be like, you know what? I got a score for you. Let's settle this.
They were like, you're season tickets canceled. Buy your tickets now. You're guaranteed to see Messi score on us.
Wow,
that's literally what they said to people.
Bro. Man, that's terrible, man. That is if I was associated with that franchise, I would blame it on some rogue intern.
Bro, and they're third or fourth in the league. Like, are you serious?
Guess,
like,
this is what I'm saying. Thing. You're at the top and they're at the bottom.
He's
gonna get into the playoffs on a technicality in the play-in tournament or whatever.
Bro, no, you know what I want to see? You know what I want to see when Messi comes here, bro? I want to see us get him sent off. That's what I want to see.
Bro, yes.
Who's going to get him sent off from our team?
Cesar?
Man, Wilder. Wilder, Cesar.
Who's trying to fight him? Cesar.
Huh? Pick somebody, bro.
We have. Yeah, don't forget. Don't forget. Janssen's there. We got AC. Look, Cesar, Wilder, Rodrigo, and Felipe. That's the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
All of us. Like the whole
four horsemen. Right there.
Did you say Pedro in there?
Oof. Pedro's another one. Like literally just blindfold spin a board of team names and you can see who's gonna get them sent off.
I want someone to pee in his mate tea and let's call it. That's it, All right. All right, veered off a little bit there. Mike, shout outs.
I got two quick ones. one related to this and one not. The one related to this is a shout out to Power Rankings. Ignore them. They suck. I say that to everybody. Power Rankings from ESPN, Power Rankings from MLS. They're not giving you any insight. You're getting three sentences about something that they're not paying attention to. Ignore Power Rankings. They mean nothing. And second shout out is to my buddy Pat. He does a podcast called Going For It. It's Going, the number four, it. It's all about the NFL. I featured with him last week doing predictions of what we think is going to happen in all of the divisions in the NFL. So if you want to go on YouTube, Going For It podcast on YouTube, you can find all the information there. Shout out to Pat. Love you, buddy.
How'd my Bears do in that prediction? Or do I have to go listen?
Possibility of either winning the division or at least making the playoffs based on how we looked at things.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I want to give
an indication that the Bears are good. It's an indication that the division's bad, just so you know.
Hey!
Lions
are pretty good.
Hey, I want to do a special shout out to someone who, when you see good work, You got to recognize it, right? I mean, and sometimes, you know, you just, there's times where you're alive next, you know, at the same time as famous artists, whether you're alive during Picasso or Michelangelo or, you know, Salvador Dali, these guys. So we are blessed to be alive with the guy who engraved the Leagues Cup trophy. I mean, that was some just incredible work there, you know. Obviously, engraving is his passion, and all that schooling really paid off, because that I think the guy who engraved, that's the guy who did the Cristiano Ronaldo statue.
Bro, I'm convinced Don Garber himself was back there engraving that damn thing, bro.
That was horrible. If you haven't seen it, look up the Leagues Cup and zoom into the engravement. It looks like, oh man, it looks like a middle schooler engraved it.
The statue that LA Galaxy put for Beckham.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or the Ronaldo statue. Remember that
Definitely
one?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Yeah, Ronaldo. Yeah, yeah. With the crazy face. Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of that, fellas, we thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in with us here. And thanks for dealing with us today. Alex was talking about us not being rusty, and I forgot sponsors. So shout out to Field Turf USA. Messi said he's not afraid to play on turf because he's used to it from the academy, which is Field Turf, who does the Barca Academy, does the Ajax Academy, and you know, that's the Johan Cruyff, you know, connection there, does those two, and and football season's coming up, so you see a lot more of them, but also Champions League, etc. You'll see a lot, and hopefully in the US, hopefully they'll tell you too about the turf fields. You know, soccer should be played on grass, but they have a product that's mixed with grass and turf that you see at the Emirates, Etihad, you know, Real Madrid, Bernabeu. That's what they really known for in Europe, this hybrid. So hopefully we get to see that here. Shout out to people who reached out to me for insurance. I've been able to help some people, not everybody. You know, you try to do your best, but I've been able to make some really been able to make some good strides for some folks and help them out, because insurance market is nuts, especially. Oh, Florida's number one highest home and auto insurance in the country now. You know, it's just terrible what's happening. I got to pay insurance too. I don't get it free. So if you guys need help to navigate that, I have options, so I can help. Or at least if I don't have an answer, I'll steer you the right way, or I'll just be honest and tell you, you know, what I can and I can't do. And then shout out to Epic Mortgage with Leo. Big decisions, trust the experts. Leo helped me get my refi on my mortgage, and I locked it in right before it climbed up high. Got me some equity I needed as I was transitioning. It cleared some debt out and really set me up in a good position where, you know, what I pay for my house is you know, it's tough to find anything like that nowadays. And he locked that in for me. So shout out to Leo at Epic Mortgage. And then Orlando City's back home. It's been a while since we've had a home match. And also I want to give a special shout out to Cappies. Cappies, Adam Milsom. Cappies is going to be in the stadium behind the wall, right, Mike? It's just what he said, behind the wall?
I think that's what he was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, he was getting at the wall area. So you're not there, get it. He's going to have his delicious cheesesteaks and my favorite Cuban sandwich that I've had, and I've been all over the place. I love Cuban sandwiches. This is Adam's Honey Cuban Sandwich. Head over to the wall and Cappies, a local establishment, local classic joint in the greater Orlando, is now coming to Orlando City Stadium. Shout out to the club for following through on that and bringing in local places. So that's all I got, guys. Vamos Orlando. Anybody else have anything else?
Who you taking that number four, Mike?
Oh yeah, we took that number four.
I gotta see how the board falls, my man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're trying to trade some of those fantasy draft picks, you know, and look, you guys, some of the listeners, you know, who knows? We're doing promotion relegation. Don't mean just because you're not in now, don't mean you won't be in the future. So,
oh yeah, shout out Adrian. Shout out Adrian.
Yeah, RIP relegation.
About time you got relegated. You've been bottom of the league for 3 years straight. I don't know how you've been getting this pass.
Yeah, we did like
hey, kicked them out the league.
Hey, you know, look, we did like Liga MX. We paused for like pro rel for a couple of years, but it's back now.
Bye bye, Adrian.
Goodbye.
I ain't trying to have no bye weeks, brother. I did get your pity vote though. My bad.
This is the guy who, yeah, Leslie, yeah, pity you voted for him. All right, fellas, out the door goes Alex, Adrian, in the door goes Alex Brown. Shout
yes,
out to
swag, yes,
yeah. So, shout out to the Alex Brown flying high in the skies.
Oh, we're also, going up, we're going up.
Yeah, congrats. Ways, since we last recorded, or I think Alex Brown became a pilot too. So, shout out to Alex Brown. I mean, this guy, smart guy. He's a pilot. One of these days, we're going to be flying with that belt to Atlanta if Phil Tiff ever, you know, listens to podcasts.
You guys are going
to
pick me right up.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick me up. We'll come pick you guys up. It'll be a good old time.
That'll be, bro.
In 99 days.
That's right. We're going to have one of those slow motion, you know, social media admin kind of things, you know, come out with the music. Bro, it's going to be fly. So, all right. Yeah. All right, fellas. Good. Have a good one. Thanks for listening, everyone. Vamos Orlando. See you guys on Saturday.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.